In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and Mother of us all. Amen. There are three times in my life when I'm pretty sure that I heard God talking directly to me. Once was on September 11th, 2001. Once was on top of a mountain in Yellowstone National Park, big surprise. I'll tell you about those two some other time. Today, I want to tell you about the third time, which was actually the first time, if you follow me. I was a junior in high school. I was on the phone with my girlfriend, whom I had been seeing for 2 years. It was a pretty serious relationship, at least by appearances. And we were having an argument. It was the same argument we always had whenever we did argue, because I had just canceled a date with her. I don't even remember what excuse I gave her that time. But she, quite rightly, was upset with me, not just for canceling on her that particular time, but because I seemed to be making a lot of excuses lately for why I couldn't spend time with her. But on that night, arguing over the phone, I just ran out of excuses. My brain, which had become too good at swerving around the truth, suddenly ran out of gas. And I heard God say to me, just like Jesus calling to Lazarus, "Dan, come out," which was pretty shocking given that I didn't even believe in God at the time. Nonetheless, I did as the voice commanded for the first time in my life. Before I could stop myself and think too much about it, I uttered the words, "I am gay." It was a moment of clarity for myself and for her. Don't get me wrong, she was far from happy about this, right? And it took a while for us to rebuild a friendship from this. But coming out to her meant we could have a friendship at all, which we continued to have through college. Now, in that moment, when I first came out, I knew that the strength to do it came from somewhere beyond me. What I didn't know was that coming out of the closet would be my first step toward following Jesus. It was nothing short of a conversion moment. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In this gospel passage, Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem, is how it's put, to face his death and also to face his resurrection, to face the full revelation of his identity and the full revelation of what God has sent him to start on the earth. He knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly where he is going. And he is dogged about pursuing his purpose. In fact, he is so confident about who he is and what he is about that he won't even get distracted by those who won't welcome them into their town. The disciples want to pick a fight with these folks, these Samaritans, to call fire down from heaven upon this town. I'm not sure when they picked up that particular superpower, but they seem to think they can do it. And Jesus rebukes them. He rebukes the disciples for even bothering to propose such a thing. Not everyone is going to be with us, Jesus seems to be saying. And that is simply up to them. We don't have to fight them about it. It's up to us to just continue on our way, to stick to who we are and what we are doing. That's why Jesus sounds so harsh to the individuals he encounters on his way. "Jesus, I want to follow you, but can you just hold on a moment? It's my dad's funeral. Jesus, I want to follow you, but hold up because I want to say goodbye to my folks first. It's not too much to ask, is it?" For every drive compelling these persons to follow Jesus, there is an equal and opposite force holding them back. And the reason I think Jesus is so harsh to them is because he knows that there will always be a funeral to attend. There will always be a farewell to say. There will always be trash to take out and bills to pay and people's opinions to worry about and your own fears that rise in the back of your throat. There is always a reason not to do the thing you know you need to do. Not to do the thing you know you need to do. There is always a reason to hold back from being who you really are. To hold back from following your true purpose on this earth. I came out for the first time in the late 90s. Not the worst time in history to be gay. Still not the best. Will and Grace had only just come on the air. Gay marriage was still a radical fringe movement. I was living in the South, and there were no out gay students at my school. The brutal murder of Matthew Shepard was still fresh on everyone's minds. I didn't want to hurt my girlfriend, whom I genuinely considered my best friend. I was worried about my parents finding out before I knew how to tell them. And on, and on, and on, equal and opposite forces keeping me from coming out. Every force compelling me out, equal and opposite force holding me inside. And the only way out was just to take that first step and shut the door behind me. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Or as Paul puts it, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take that first step out into freedom, shut the door, and don't look back. Coming out of the closet is always the first step to following where Jesus is going. And of course, I don't just mean the gay closet. When you get home later today, I recommend you go to the TED Talk website and search for a video by Ash Beckham. I'll see if we can get a link on the website with today's sermon to it. But it's one of the best things I've ever seen about what it means to come out of the closet. And here's my favorite part, when she says this. We all have closets. Your closet may be telling someone that you love her for the first time, or telling someone that you're pregnant, or telling someone you have cancer, or any of the other hard conversations we have throughout our lives. All a closet is a hard conversation. And although our topics may vary tremendously, the experience of being in and coming out of the closet is universal. It is scary, and we hate it, and it has to be done. This is the reason why that rainbow-colored parade going through Chicago today is not called the Gay Pride Parade, not the Queer Pride Parade, or even the LGBTQ Pride Parade. It's just called the Pride Parade. It's called that because, I'll let you in on a little secret, there is a gay agenda. And the gay agenda is this, that everyone who sees us out of our closets will see that they can also come out of their own. Whatever closets each of us are in, whatever hard conversations we need to have, whatever we need to say about who we are, we can know that we are not alone. And we can know that there is life outside. We all have closets we're hiding in about one thing or another, and the only way to really live is to come out of them. It is scary, and it's hard, and it needs to be done. Because on the outside of the closet is freedom and life. That life is what all Pride parades are about. It's color, It's music, it's dancing, it's fierce, it's raucous, it doesn't make apologies for itself, and it never, ever looks back. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Coming out of the gay closet is what it took for me to begin to understand the kind of life Jesus leads each and every one of us towards. What closets did you have to come out of in order to follow Jesus? What closets did you have to follow in order to end up in this community? What closets do you still need to come out of? What are the conversations that you need to have? And I wonder, is this faith community itself hiding itself in the closet? Over the past 4 months, starting with my very first interview for this job, I have kept asking folks around here, what are you all about? Who are the people in this community? Why do you come here? And the answer I keep getting is, we're welcoming. We welcome everybody. That is wonderful. Being welcoming is a wonderful thing, and I wish many more people who claim to follow Jesus would do that. And the question I keep following up with you all is, what are you welcoming people into? What are people really signing up for if they join this church? What does this community really value? What is your purpose here, right now, in this place? What makes you distinct and marvelously special from every other church in Gurnee? What do you want to get out of this thing called the Christian faith? Because being welcoming does not mean trying to be everything to everybody. It doesn't mean being so vague that nobody has a reason not to come here. It doesn't mean avoiding being too much of any one thing or taking any kind of stance because you're afraid that someone won't like you. That's closet talk. That's the sort of looking back Jesus is saying is unworthy of you. It's a yoke. And no one needs any more yokes in this life. People want, those people out there, the people in here, need freedom. That's why for as long as I've been a priest, I have been told time and time again, and I have seen it with my own eyes, that congregations who are clear about who they are, congregations who are upfront about what they value and what their purpose is in their community, those are the ones that thrive and grow. And that's the sort of work I want to start doing with you all in the 7 months we still have together in this interim. I'll be working with the wardens and the vestry. We've already started this conversation. I think the vestry members are like, what the heck is he talking about? But we'll get there. We're going to have those conversations in leadership, and just as importantly, we're going to have those conversations with one another in this parish as a whole. The CAT survey was just the beginning, all right? Those are the kinds of hard conversations we need to have, though I promise I am going to do my best to make them not so scary. In fact, I hope some of you have already experienced in the past in this community that those kinds of conversations can actually be a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot about one another. You're going to learn about yourself a lot. I'm pretty sure, well, stay tuned for details. I don't have the details yet, but it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure I heard God speaking to me those many years ago on the phone with my girlfriend that night. But much more often, we do not hear the voice of God directly in our heads or directly in our ears, but only when we really start talking with one another, when we have those hard conversations with one another, when we start asking each other questions that we don't already have answers to. That's when God starts talking. That's when we can hear God calling us and showing us where to go next. And wherever there is a closet keeping this wonderful, great community hidden from the world, let us hear among us the voice of God telling us all to come out. Amen. I just got back like 2 o'clock.